This morning, the AFC coaches' breakfast, including Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. All of the AFC head coaches making the rounds earlier today in the media center here at the Boca Raton Resort. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Here's what's up today on Jaguars.com Live. The NFL annual meeting continues. We'll hear from Shad Khan, Jaguars owner, who talked to the Jacksonville media earlier today, and we'll recap the AFC coaches' breakfast that was earlier as well. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier and Mike DiRocco of ESPN. What's up, guys?
Did you notice, Mike, that as Dave turned the camera, it went down about 2 inches behind.
He had to drop the tripod.
That's where we're at.
That's where we are indeed.
I mean, you have to start carrying a box. This is ridiculous.
ESPN doesn't provide one for you, right? Yeah. Let's start off with Jags owner Shad Khan. Spoke just a little while ago, about 11 o'clock today, to the Jacksonville media. What's the biggest takeaway from Shad today, guys?
Well,
I don't want to stand.
I'll go ahead and go. It's my show.
So,
I thought, Mike, that the biggest takeaway was when he talked about London, how it was, I don't want to put words in his mouth to say gratifying, but there's certainly an element that 3 years ago, when the Jaguars started in London, it was seen as an oddity, and even something that maybe people nationally made fun of. And now all of a sudden, not unexpectedly, if you know the economics of the situation, all of a sudden there are people wanting to be involved in London with the Jaguars on it, as well as other games overseas. And I think it again speaks to Shad's role and his natural fit as a leader in that sort of thing in this league right now.
Yeah, as a visionary too,
sure.
John, because like you said, 3 years ago, people maybe looked at it as a joke. Or
right, just one more thing the Jaguars were doing that was weird.
Exactly.
Right.
One thing that, you know, Gus, that team is just in disarray.
Right.
And now, you know, the Texans owner, Bob McNair, the other day talked to Shad about playing a game in London against the Jaguars, so maybe the Houston Texans will be the team that they play next year. But yeah, you know, the league wants to expand to China. They want to play games in Mexico. They want to play games, I think, in Brazil has been mentioned too. And now, teams around the league are looking at it going, you know what? That's a viable option. It helps us grow our brand. Shad Khan is always thinking 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of everybody, it seems. And that's sort of what I got out of that this morning, too.
I think, JP, not only is he thinking ahead, but the plans that he lays in place seem to come to fruition and become a pattern for others to follow. You can see the video boards. You know, all of a sudden, I think you're going to see more and more stadiums thinking outside the box with an emphasis on, we have to make these game day experiences. We have to make this game something different for the fans than it has been. I think it has to do with international, and it has to do with the stadium experience. And it's just a few more examples of the Jaguars being out ahead. And I really think the international thing, their foothold in London that they established 3 years ago, and they saw that they needed to establish that foothold. London is very important. And as the league grows around it, maybe becomes more aggressive to it, I think the Jaguars are there, and it's going to be an important piece of their puzzle.
Shad Khan, of course, is ahead of the curve in the city of Jacksonville, too, with the amphitheater and indoor facility. That construction should begin fairly soon. He said there were really no further updates and no true timetables today, but that kind of thing happening in the city of Jacksonville, too, for a city that needs some kind of amphitheater, something like that. The Jags are ahead of that curve, again, in Jacksonville, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the Shipyards project, someone asked him about, too, and that is, you know, we saw how ambitious he was with that, I think it was 2 years ago, and he's still trying to push forward on that. Look, I'm eager to see the revised plans, because we all know when he does something, he does it way better than anyone else is going to do it.
Yeah, he never puts up a shack.
No. So I'm eager to see what that's going to look like. Right. And, you know, you're right. It may be something that isn't finished until, you know, 2017, but it's going to be awful interesting to see what that whole area looks like when it's done and how the city's going to use it.
I think about Shad, as we all know from being around him a little bit, he keeps his eye on the future with, I guess, a toe in the pool of reality. Meaning,
that's a pretty good phrase right there. Look at that. Wow.
You like that?
I did like that.
Well, you know, when you work with words, words are your work. So, asked about the football team today. And there's a lot of talk about, at the league meetings, Jaguars improving. good free agency, and it seems to be, from a national perspective, a franchise on the rise, maybe more than the local fans think. And yet at the same time, when you ask Shad, his first thing is, well, it's great to be optimistic, but we haven't won a game. So I guess I say that to make the point that he understands that with all the vision and with all the talk nationally and all the splash of free agency, that the number one thing for this franchise right now is still get it going on the field, win games, and he understands that's a priority. He's optimistic, but also looking at it with a, hey, it needs to get done now.
Yeah, and I think having a winning franchise will only make him, I don't know if this is the right term, but even more powerful locally. Sure. In the city. I think it's much easier to go to the city and to go to people around the community and the business community when you have a team that's winning games and in the playoffs. Not that he hasn't been successful and hasn't been able to create a lot of buzz in the business community and throughout the city now, but I just can't imagine if this team were somehow to make the playoffs this year and this team becomes a team, you know, that is an annual playoff contender, just how much more he could get done in the city.
You're still thinking about the toe in reality line.
I can't get over it. That's fantastic.
You're distracted by it.
I loved it. I may never write again. That was just, it was just that great.
In terms of Gus this morning.
Yeah,
you
we're
going
to go there next.
Sure.
Gus Bradley started the day with AFC Coaches Breakfast at 7:15 this morning. Each coach at a separate table in the media center behind us here. And, you know, first thoughts about the new coaching hires, additional thoughts about the new free agents. Where do you want to begin? You want to start with Monty Kiffin? I guess that's probably the latest news before this event.
Yeah, I'd say we can get in and get out. Monty is a big name. People know him. But in this process, don't get the idea that he is changing the shape of the defense philosophically.
They're not playing Tampa 2.
They're not playing nope. Tampa 2. They're not going to the standard 4-3 front. Monty is there to be, I guess, eyes and ears and a wise mind who has seen a lot of football. You can bounce things off of, and he can lead you in a, you know, I don't want to say league, I think it's the spirit of it. He can help, and he's a very, very good coach and a good guy to have in the room. He's been consulting on sort of a, I guess, a non-paid basis, listen to Gus. And I guess basically said this morning, I guess we decided to sort of pay him for what he's already been doing. So an experienced guy who has a lot to offer, but it is Todd Wash's defense. That's the impression I got this morning, Mike.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I found it interesting. He's going to have, Monty Kiffin's going to have some sort of an on-field role. They haven't figured that out yet. But he's also going to act, from what Gus said, sort of like an advanced scout a little bit. You know, take a look at the upcoming opponent, present his thoughts on the Monday of the game week. You know, and he's going to be, like you said, a resource for a lot of those young coaches. I mean, Todd Wash is a first-time defensive coordinator. I'm sure is going to lean on Monty Kiffin for a lot of advice. It's going to be a scenario where, you know, pick his brain throughout the whole year and see if you can get better.
Yeah, and there's some value to having Monty see the game tape first, and then when you sit down and game plan, hey, you see this? Yeah, I saw this too, Todd. Let's go with that. So that makes a lot of sense.
Interesting thoughts also this morning from Gus about Blake Bortles heading into a full offseason in this offense with Greg Olsen. That can only help. Continuity is not a bad thing when it comes to playing quarterback, Mike.
No, it's fine-tuning. It's working with the receivers again and getting everything you know, on the same page. Don't have to worry about learning a new offense, new playbook, but he's got to cut down the turnovers. He's got to get that completion percentage up. I think at the end of the season, he talked about being better with those shorter passes so that he can raise that completion percentage up, and therefore that would theoretically eliminate a lot of those turnovers.
But a key thing toward that end that Gus mentioned is they're not going to try to put too much on Bortles' plate. Okay, he's in his second year of the offense. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden Greg Olsen is going to put in two more versions of this offense and start trying to fool teams with what they're doing and being fancy off-season game planners. Let's do what we do well. Keep getting better. The maturity and the development and the added wrinkles to the scheme, I think, will happen over time with Blake Bortles. As you start reaching maturity, he will see more and take advantage of more of what's already in the offense based on his experience, rather than trying to force-feed that issue.
Offensive
line.
Don't
get too cute, JP.
That's right. Keep it simple, right? The offensive line, a big topic today, too. Certainly the interior with a lot of guys vying for three spots there. Certainly a left tackle. Kelvin Beachum brought on in free agency. the battle with Luke Joeckel is going to be a real thing, sounds like.
Yeah, that's what Dave Caldwell said yesterday, that it's open competition. So, you know, Joeckel has not been pushed since he's been here. They gave him a starting job, and that's been it. So he's going to have to fight off Beachum. Now, the question becomes, what is his ACL situation, Beachum's ACL? When is he going to be completely healthy and able to get on the field and really compete? Sounds like early part of training camp, maybe, from what Dave said yesterday. So,
which leads you to wonder how much you can really push in that 2 weeks. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, they have a legitimate option, and no matter what happens, they now have one more good player who can play somewhere on the offensive line. It gives you depth, and it gives you game day flexibility. If Beachum happens to be a guard, he can kick outside. If somebody's not playing well, if somebody's hurt. So it's one more player who can play at a high level, and this team is still in the process of trying to add more guys like that.
D-Rock, good to see you. We appreciate your time today, man.
Thank you. I'm not coming on again until I get a box.
Or a better line than John's.
Well, no one can come up with a better line than that.
Good luck.
What was it, toe in the pool of reality?
We'll have to look back in the tape. So hopefully they'll burn it.
Mike DiRocco, ESPN, with us on Jaguars.com Live. Our coverage of the annual meeting rolls through today. Go back to Jaguars.com, see everything that you missed. Dave Caldwell with the media earlier in this week. And then, of course, as the week has gone along, Shad Khan today. And earlier this morning, Gus Bradley. You can watch the whole press conference with the Jaguars head coach from earlier this morning at 7:15 today, right here on Jaguars.com. Our next guest, I've actually never met. I'm J.P. Shadrick. This is Sam Farmer from Los Angeles Times.
Yeah. You've been here way too long.
Way too long. I'm here, John.
Thanks for coming on with us today.
My pleasure.
I don't know if congratulations are in order, but we're all excited that you've been around the league for a long time. Haven't had a team to cover, but now you do. You got to be excited.
Yeah, I'm handing out cigars. I'm just glad we didn't have twins. So, yeah. We may ultimately have a second team coming, but that's for another day, another meeting. So.
And it's been a long, I mean, I know people joke with you, what are you going to ask the commissioner now that you can't ask the LA question?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's always been a joke. But it's a long process. I know Pete Prisco covered the expansion process for maybe 3 years in Jacksonville. That was long. But you've been covering it.
Close to 20.
I've been 20.
I've done it 16 years. Yeah. I was the Raiders beat writer before that, so. It is unusual. You know, it's unusual coming to these meetings when Los Angeles isn't a focus, because for so long, this was the time they talked about Los Angeles. Right. This in the May meetings. In fact, we even had a saying, if it's May, it must be LA. We were talking, you know, whether, and it was a whole array of teams, the Jaguars being one of them over the years, who have cropped up as potential movers. Right. In fact, we went back and counted 18 of the 32 teams have invoked LA in some way, shape, or form, whether it's to, you know, obviously creating leverage to get stadium deals in their own city. So LA, in a lot of respects, has been more valuable to the league without a team than with a team.
Now, all the years, it does seem like for about the last 3 years, it's been all quiet on the Jaguars front in terms of LA.
Yeah.
And I guess it was really when Shad took over ownership that started to wane. That's our view. And I assume it's sort of your view as well. I know they sort of kept cropping up as sort of a blog site mention, but it seemed like the real stuff that you probably heard probably started waning around that time.
Yeah, the people who really covered it know that Jacksonville, and really Buffalo too, sort of dropped out of contention, if you will, or firmed up deepened their roots in their own communities. People who casually monitored the situation might invoke Jacksonville or Buffalo or Minnesota, but the people who knew that it was really coming down to the three teams that had previously played in Los Angeles, the Chargers, Raiders, and Rams.
And one reason we had you on, Sam, is you've been the LA guy, but you're also very tied in nationally with the league. With this owners' meetings outside of LA, what are the things you're looking at, and is there any topic that you're particularly interested in at this meeting?
Well, I think the
league-wide rules.
The league-wide rules are always kind of interesting. We sort of have to justify our existence to be at this beautiful resort, and we're wearing resort clothes, and we have to make a bigger deal out of things like chop blocks and two-strike ejections and things like that, which is interesting,
right.
But I mean, I don't know that it warrants coming all the way across
right.
the country for. So the focus now, I think, on innovation is very interesting mm-hmm. and sort of international,
right.
growing the game internationally. And something that comes up now is the China game. I think that's going to involve the Rams. I think the Rams are going – they've got a three-year international deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what Jacksonville's international deal
They're
is.
They're tied to London for at least the next four and
– Okay. The Rams,
while,
are,
right.
it's sort of wide open. They've got 3 years. They're going to play in London this year. I think they're going to play in Mexico City next mm-hmm. year. Not firmed up, but – and then I would see them playing in China in 2018. Leading
and you get
the
idea – not to interrupt you, but do you get the idea that the franchise as a whole, meaning the Rams franchise as a whole – that they want to be forerunners on that sort of thing after that? Or is this just sort of because of their stadium situation?
Well, that's right? a great point. I think the owner, Stan Kroenke, the fact that he owns Arsenal, the fact that he owns other professional sports franchises around the world
right.
Is sort of forward-thinking in that regard. But I also think, listen, they're going to be going to the Coliseum. They're going to have reduced revenue. They're not going to have suite revenue and stuff. So losing a home game isn't as big a deal.
Right. Once that stadium gets built, it's supposed to be a revenue producer.
Absolutely.
Right.
Once they're in that stadium, I don't think they're going to want to leave. Gotcha. They're going to want to play at least their 10, a lot of 10 games.
And you guys are tight, right? The media-friendly Stan Kroenke, he's...
he's out there. Right?
Hey.
Weekly Q&A with
he's,
Stan.
You know what? Stan is more accessible than you might think.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
And I think it's... it's changing a little bit
good.
On that front. So,
Sam
yeah.
Farmer,
it's good for you.
Sam Farmer is with us from the Los Angeles Times. To that end, the stadium deals, there were always the two possibilities there, Carson, Englewood. Why was this deal, the few weeks ago or a few months ago now when that all went through, why was this one chosen in the very end?
Well, I think that this was much more real. The investment was much more real than the Carson deal. The Carson was a bit of a mixed stadium. Mm-hmm. This is, I believe, a transformational type project that it's on such a vast piece of land. I mean, it's unbelievable when you go check it out. It's the size of the Boston Financial District, or you can hear these things, it's three times the size of Vatican City. But this one sort of resonated the most with me. In New York, if you go from Central Park down to the Empire State Building all the way to the river, it's that big, the area. So it's unreal what they can do on this land, and I think it's going to ultimately
right.
cost upwards of $10 billion, the development on that land. So that was very much real. I think the notion of dropping two teams into a market at once simultaneously is very difficult, adding degrees of difficulty to an already complex situation.
Does the league like the idea of having that, I don't say threat, but still as...
Absolutely.
Same kind of deal it's been for 20 years.
Yeah,
and
the fact that now you've got the option, the Chargers have the option first, then the Raiders have a one-year option if the Chargers don't exercise it to move
same
to L.A.
Right.
But I think that the league would love to have that vacancy, which is a real... tangible vacancy, a stadium where a team could move right in
sure.
and use that as a leverage point, as
worked
opposed to
time.
Sort of the theoretical, we could move to L.A. Now they have a real vacancy. They're going to have a real locker room where a team could call home. And so that would be very valuable to the league if the Chargers or the Raiders don't hit
right.
the bid on that.
Final question for me. The scope of the stadium is fascinating because – there's sort of a perception that the stadium situation in L.A., and it's not even fair to call it a stadium because it's so much bigger than that, will change how future stadiums are. But it sounds to me like it's so big and so enormous, it may be hard to ever duplicate, if you follow me. Like,
hard to duplicate, yeah. I think they're going to look at this as a sort of a global sports node where they,
right.
It's certainly a huge presence on the West Coast for the NFL where they could hold – drafts, they could hold the combine,
mm-hmm.
ultimately there, Pro Bowls, if they, in whatever form that's going to be, and obviously Super Bowls, which we're going to see awarded, I believe a Super Bowl will be awarded to LA in May.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to duplicate. The stadium could cost close to $3 billion. So,
but pieces of it will probably be used as prototypes elsewhere, but it'll be hard to really do this stadium.
I agree.
Anywhere else.
Yep. It absolutely. And, you know, one other place sort of merits that. This is the second largest market. You can have a stadium that's expandable to 100,000.
Right.
Do you really need that in a market? Right. You don't need that in San Diego. You don't need that in Oakland. And you probably don't need that in most NFL cities.
It sounds like it would cover most of Jacksonville.
I think it might, yeah. Sam Farber with us.
That Jacksonville video board, I don't know if anything's ever going to get bigger than that.
Probably not.
Yeah. Sam Farber from the L.A. Times is with us. You've been following the Raiders, as of course they've been flirting with L.A. for a while. How real is this Raiders to Vegas flirtation? Have you followed much of that?
Yeah, I have followed it, and it's interesting. It would be a big leap of faith and a sort of change of direction for the league. Obviously, the league's kept at least the perception of gambling at arm's length, to say the least. Although, you look and you say London is one of the biggest sports gambling cities in the world, and they want to move to London. So I would say the crazier things have happened. And maybe the craziest thing is L.A. has a team now.
That's good. Yeah. Sam, we appreciate
your time.
It's
not the Jaguars, and that's the key.
That's right. Yeah, that's good for Jacksonville.
Yeah, and this crew, for sure. Yep. Good to meet you, and we appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much.
Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Get your season tickets now for 2016. The Titans and the Texans are at home this year. And, of course, the world champs, the Denver Broncos, are here. Green Bay, Oakland will be a big game. It's getting bigger and bigger. Get those tickets now, 633-2000, or visit jaguars.com/tickets. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com Live. Yeah, Sam Farmer's been working at it for a long time, and that is the funny thing. Every year, asking the commissioner, when's the team coming back to L.A.? Now he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Well, and, you know, I know a lot of fans who watch this may remember the mid-90s when the Jaguars were going after the team. I was covering the University of Florida at the time, but Pete Prisco was doing the job very similar to Sam Farmer's now. And every time you go to an owner's meetings, he was the guy standing around the hallway talking to other owners, trying to find his guy. And you're there for one reason, and it's to ask the commissioner about your team. And I know Pete's told me stories over the years. It's draining. It's brutal. You're writing the same story. You're not really covering football. So good for Sam, a good NFL guy. And it was funny, over the years, when I first got to Jacksonville, he would always kind of approach me at league meetings, and we'd talk, and he'd say, hey, is there anything with, you know, the Jaguars to L.A.? And my understanding was always no is what I was hearing. I never heard there was anything. But after a couple years, I didn't talk to Sam at league meetings anymore. He didn't ask me anymore, and that's because Shad Khan came around, and it became very clear, as he said, to people who know the league, it became very clear quickly with Shad that he was about Jacksonville and growing it there. So good to have Sam on, and good for him to have a team.
And the scope of the development in L.A. is pretty eye-opening, too. Yeah. I didn't realize some of the statistics until you brought
them so
up.
Well, so much gets lost when you just read about it or see about it, but it's interesting to talk to the person who covers it. As you said, the scope of that project, and you just wonder, it's going to change a lot about things going forward, but I can't imagine they're going to be able to duplicate it in the United States. Maybe somewhere around the world you might have something like that, but it's going to be a staggering development without question.
And it could change a lot around the National Football League as well. So, hey, let's wrap it up here. This has been an interesting couple of days. Shad Khan speaking earlier today, Gus Bradley this morning, Dave Caldwell yesterday. Things moving forward off the field for the Jaguars, development outside, inside, and outside the stadium. And, of course, on the football side, free agency done, a little push towards the draft now. A lot of things happening at one time, both on and off the field.
Yeah, and to me it's the same theme as last year at the owners' meetings, which I remember talking to Mark Lamping, wherever we were, Arizona, about the respect level that the Jaguars were starting to feel here from other teams. And I think now it's extended a little bit more to the national media than it was last year. And I think when Mark talks about it, he's talking primarily about the off the field and the business and how people inside meetings are now looking to the team for hey, what are you doing on tickets? What are you doing on game day experience? What are you doing on video boards? Your off field is setting trends, you know, and it's something to follow. Well, now I think after the building process and with the talent being added to the roster, there is a feeling among the league that on the field it's closer to being successful. And so you're starting to feel it, and the franchise is starting to feel it. And now the obvious thing hanging out there, the big matzo ball, as they say, is you got to win games to make everybody feel it. So that's my impression of it, is it's definitely going the right direction, more so off the field than ever. And now you've got to make this feeling of free agency, of drafting well, translate to the field. And it's all back to the quarterback.
It all certainly is.
No, I mean, to make it simple, those things that we're all talking about will now sort of become on-field issues. We'll be back to the draft. We'll be back to that. But here at the league meetings, that's the vibe on the Jaguars.
That's going to do it for our coverage from the league meetings on Jaguars.com Live. We'll have Inside the Jaguars coming up a little bit later today. John Osier is writing as well. Our thanks to Mike DiRocco and Sam Farmer for joining us. For everyone involved, and John Osier.
Thanks, JP.
This is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next time on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.